Good morning. Easter is coming soon. You know, Lent's a 40-day season, not counting Sundays, that starts on Ash Wednesday and extends to Holy Saturday. It's mostly a Catholic observant, but it's also observed by many Protestant churches. Yeah, it's a time of frame for fasting and prayer and giving and repentance and preparation for Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday we call Easter. And it culminates in Holy Week that includes Palm Sunday, when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, just as the prophecies described hundreds of years before, riding on a donkey, shouts of the coming king. And it continues through Maundy Thursday with the Last Supper, held in the upper room with the disciples, and Jesus giving some instructions on how to live. Good Friday, when the crucifixion took place, and which is good for us, and that Jesus overcame the Adam sin for us. Holy Saturday is a reflection on what has actually taken place. And then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus arose from death to life. And Jesus is alive, giving those that believe in him hope and a new life in him and the promise of an eternity with him. You know, it's a time for us to examine ourselves and see if our relationship is where it should be and what it should be with Christ. So I want to start out with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, which talks about examining yourself. It says, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test." So we're to examine ourselves in our lives and testing ourselves based on God's word to see how obedient we really are, how in Christ we truly are. You know, the 40 days was a time of testing in the Bible. You know, Jesus was sent into the wilderness by the Spirit after his baptism to fast and to be tested for 40 days. And Satan was all over it, as described in Luke. And you can bet after becoming a believer, you also will be tested by Satan. It's going to happen. You know, if you're called by God and he asks you to do something for the kingdom, you will be tested. There are times you may feel you're wandering in the wilderness or wandering in the desert. But those are testing times for you to know yourself, to increase your awareness of God and where he is in your life and where you are in Christ. That is, if you see it and recognize it for what it is. Sometimes it's a woe is me, and we only look at the downside instead of looking where God is in it. But he's in those things too. And the number 40 was the basis of testing in the Bible. You know, there's 40 days Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, 40 days of Elijah's journey in the wilderness, 40 days of raining in the flood of Noah. There were 40 days that Goliath mocked Israel and God before God used David to end it. 40 days that the spies checked out the promised land before entering. Israel wandering in the desert 40 years after being afraid to enter the promised land and not trusting in God. And those are just to name a few. So, Lent is a designated 40 days for self-examination and testing. It's not a biblical requirement to follow, but a reminder there is a need to examine ourselves. And all the things in Lent was done in the Bible. It's just not a ordinance or a requirement for us to do. I want to go to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." And here's what I want you to get. "It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." So get that. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. The grace of God allows that. And to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age. And he's talking to us now as well as then. You know, fasting's another thing that is typically done at Lent. And if you look up fasting, you're going to find mostly things concerning diets and health and giving up certain food products, but biblical fasting is not that. Biblical fasting is sacrificially abstaining from something with a spiritual intent, to focus on prayer and God's word and humility and repentance and spiritual growth and a closer relationship with God. And I think that's a good thing for any believer in Christ. You know, fasting and biblical texts are also performed when mourning or seeking guidance or desiring a deeper communion with God. So there's reasons to do it. If you decide to fast, don't just consider food. You know, most use it for giving up chocolate or sugar items or pop or something like that. Sometimes use it for certain meals. I'm going to give up a certain meal. Now again, the fasting, it's fasting with a spiritual intent of self-discipline and self-examination, of growing closer to God. You know, we get busy on projects and we skip meals all the time. That's not fasting. Fasting is giving something sacrificially up, or something that may have a grip on us for a spiritual purpose. There's a purpose in the fast. Sure, we can give up food and drinks, but we can also give up social media and television or a cell phone. And don't tell me those don't have a grip on people. You know, house phones were tethered to the wall. Cell phones are tethered to people's pockets. You can see where they're almost addiction to cell phones. There are other electronic devices and other things that have a grip on us. Sometimes when you give up something, you replace it with something else. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Give those things up to replace it with prayer and scripture reading and acts of service. Replace it with something. And all those things are in praising God and examining ourselves. You know, perhaps it's not even physical things we need to give up, but I think we also need to look at attitudes that have a grip on us. You know, we need to give up. Maybe there's bitterness in our life we've had for a long time. Maybe we need to give up, replace that with forgiveness. Maybe we worry about things, maybe a little too much. Maybe we need to give out the worry and just trust in God for what He can do. You know, we get discouraged sometimes. Maybe we trade that in for hope. We get angry. We don't understand. People make us mad. We get angry about things, about life. We can change that into joy. And then we're pretty much a selfish people. We can trade that selfishness in for self-sacrificing acts for others. You know, all of those put us closer to God, and that's the purpose, taking things out of our life that holds us away from focusing on God in our life. I want to go to Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load." There's a couple things there. You know, we've got a responsibility for one another, to help one another. We are to carry one another's burdens. You know, make their life lighter by helping to carry or helping to remove what they are loaded down with. And that involves loving them and caring about them and for them. You know, Christians are supposed to restore people who have sinned. And I remind you, it said gently. That's a key component, gently, very important. And with that, it takes a special person to point out sin, but an equally special person to accept what has been pointed out. So I encourage great caution when doing this, because it can damage or destroy relationships if both people aren't strong in their walk with the Lord. It takes both of them. The other reason is pointing out sin in another one's life comes a little bit too easy for us sometimes. You know, we see the others and don't see our own. You know, when we do have a conflict with someone, it requires a change. And if you ask someone Typically, the required change is in the other person. It's not in us. So be careful with that. But it is, we are called to do that. We are called to restore people. One of the main things it says is don't deceive yourself by thinking you're something that you're not. And so deceive yourself. You know, sometimes we think a lot more of ourselves than we are. But he says you're deceiving yourself. Don't think you're something you're not. You know, the young man that had quite a bit of things went to Jesus, said, you know, I do this and this and this. What more do I need? What do I need to do? And Jesus said, well, love the Lord your God, love others, and do not kill, you know, don't steal. And of course, he said, oh, I've done all that. You know, he kind of fits this, don't deceive yourself by thinking you're something you're not. He said, what else should I do? And Jesus said, well, if you've done all that, just go and sell all you have and follow me. And we know he went away sad because he admitted, basically, he didn't follow all of those things. He put other things in front of God. God wasn't first in his life. That's how we deceive ourselves. We put things in front in our life that's greater than God. You know, this time of examination is for you also, not someone else. You know, it's personal. It's between you and God. You are responsible for your own actions. You know, we need to look at what we've done, what we're doing, and what we plan to do. You know, our prayers should be in repentance for those things we know we failed at and continue to struggle with. We don't have to put ashes on our heads, but biblical people dressed in sackcloth and covered themselves with ashes went in mourning and sought answers and blessings from God in tough times when they had a repentant heart. You can see Esther, you can see Job, and many other places. Again, test the things we're doing, and if they're in accordance with God's will and God's word. Because the only comparison we should be using is God's word and Jesus' actions. Are we really living by the Spirit he gave us? Are we letting go of our desires to be who God desires us to be? Going to have an invitation in a minute, but I want to finish with 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. 1 John 4, 11 through 16. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. So we examine ourselves. What are the answers? What did we come up with when we tested ourselves? You know, am I what God wants me to be? You know, when he looks at me, what does he see? What do we look like in God's eyes? Am I a person who loves as God loves? Am I a person who does as God does? You know, does the Spirit he gave me show? Can other people see it? The Spirit should show we live in him and he lives in us. But can anyone else tell? You know, we need to acknowledge God to everyone and rely on God's love for us. You know, Lent practice may not be your thing, but anything that brings us closer to God in our walk is a good thing. You know, you're asked to take challenges at various times. You know, the Christian radio station sometimes asks you to take the 30-day challenge and just listen to their station only. Maybe you've been challenged to read the Bible in 30 days or 90 days or even a year. You know, all those challenges are intended to create good habits and awareness. So consider Lent season a challenge to make a spiritual health check. You know, examine yourself. Give up things that hold you back from good spiritual health. Use prayer and repentance and let the Holy Spirit guide you. You know, submit to him. Surrender to him. and use it leading up to the days of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. I believe if you do, you'll be in a better place to understand what sacrifice Jesus made and have even a greater joy in life made possible by Jesus' resurrection. Who knows, you might even find yourself closer personal relationship to Christ than ever before. What a better reason. So test yourself. Take that challenge. If you give something up, try it for 40 days. It's not that long. And see if it doesn't get you closer to God as you examine yourself. Let's pray.